Coming. Amen. Amen. Sometimes things go the way we didn't plan. Did you read that story that Andrew sent about that man and his head burned somehow? But if that head didn't burn, rescue wouldn't come. Because they saw he was so angry. Something went wrong. But nothing didn't happen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing that song. I know the master of dreams.
Amen.
Amen.
A busy man. But to Daniel, the most important thing wasn't all of those things. In the midst of all of the busyness of his life, he had enough, sufficient time, sufficient grace to really wait upon the Lord in his word, in the prophecy of Jeremiah. And it really had an effect inside of his life.
Amen.
And how you will know the word has had a great effect is that it will lead you to pray. Now that's a great relationship between prophecy and prayer.
Amen.
Is that Daniel first, he starts to pray. If you have a look at Daniel chapter 9, before you get to the prophecy part, you've got to get into verse 20-something. So before he gets to the prophecy, before he gets to those things, you're going to find there's 20-something verses of a man in prayer.
Mm.
And this wasn't just light prayer that Daniel was praying. This was serious prayer. This was a man who set his face to seek the Lord his God.
Yeah.
And if you're setting your face means it's a determination. Now, this isn't something where, You go for prayer and you say, well, I hope that God's going to answer me. And then you pray and you feel better and you go home. It's not that kind of a prayer. Daniel was determined that he was going to stay in that spirit of prayer until he saw the result that was bringing about. He wanted to see God move on behalf of his people. But he wasn't happy just with himself and, you know, living in the position that he was. He looked and he saw that, Lord, now is the time that God really wants to move on behalf of his people. But he looked around and he saw maybe a lot of the sons and daughters of Jacob, they weren't feeling the same way as him. A lot of people are just feeling at home in Babylon. A lot of the people are just feeling at home there. And the people weren't really earnestly desiring to see the fulfillment of the word. No, they weren't longing for that. And friend, that is a condition of the fulfillment of the word. You have to earnestly desire the fulfillment of the word. And God has made his word like that, that he will always be faithful to his side of the word. He's faithful to his side of the promise. But he waits for us to come with a real burden and desire.
Amen.
To see the fulfillment of that promise.
Amen.
The Lord knows that until the church gets into that position, we've said it many times before, the fulfillment of the promise isn't going to do you as much good as it should.
Amen.
You know, it takes a certain condition for people to be in. So that when the Lord now comes and answers the prayers of the people, now that process of prayer, that process of approaching the promise, and that process of really, really being earnest before the Lord to see the fulfillment of the promise, it doesn't change God, the prophet says, it changes you. It puts you into the right kind of a position, right kind of a spiritual condition, so that you will really benefit from the fulfillment of that promise. Look, for so many people, the promise is fulfilled, but they don't benefit. How many people were in the prayer lines in the 1950s that were healed, and it didn't really help them after? You know, they received a promise, but they weren't really in a certain place with the Lord to be able to really understand what it is that God really wanted to do inside of their lives. You know, so the big picture, the real virtue they could have received from that, what God had done for them, had passed over their heads. And I think that Daniel was looking and he could see that, no, you know, we need to really see God at this time.
Amen.
You know, God is going to be faithful to his word every time. He's told us 70 years we're going to be in captivity. We're right on the border of the fulfillment of that. But he knew that we've got to really start to seek the Lord. And you'll see from the content of his prayer, he starts speaking about God. He starts speaking about the covenant. He starts speaking that God delivered them from Egypt and God was faithful to his promise. And if you go back and look at that, Daniel would have been reading and saying, but what happened last time when God delivered his people from captivity? He would have gone back and read the book of Exodus and seen that before God came and moved on behalf of the people had to respect the promise. Now, God had to get the people into a state of prayer. God had to get Israel in the first Exodus to have a respect unto that promise. Now, while they were living in Goshen, and you know, Joseph was a big man, and his reputation after he died was easy for them. Who wanted to go back and live in Canaan? So the Lord had to bring a situation that the people started to really search the scriptures and say, hey, this isn't the way that we thought things were going to be. No, we're the covenant sons and the covenant daughters of God. Why is God not moving on our behalf in this situation here? And the people now started to, you know, really get serious about things.
Amen.
The people started to groan, and the people started to pray, and the people started to seek God. You know, we know it from teaching with Moses when the prophet speaks about Amram and how he came before the Lord and he prayed like that. And then it says that God had respect unto the people. And God remembered his covenant promise. God will never forget his covenant promises, but there's a certain something that it takes in order for God to move and activate that promise on behalf of his people. And friend, the prophet says that he says, before any move of God, he says, before any revival, he says, God has got to get at least one person burning in prayer.
Yes,
if you trace back any revival, any move of God on behalf of his people, Daniel 9 is a classic example. There's got to be at least one person who gets a burden to say, but God, we're in danger of this passing us by. You know, we're in danger that You know, Daniel maybe was thinking that they stayed 40 years longer in Egypt, remember? Because they never recognized who Moses was when he first came. They were supposed to have been 400 years, but they said another 40 years. Listen, Daniel was thinking like that. He said, no. Let's make sure that on our side, we fulfill the conditions of God's word. Yeah, so then he starts to seek the Lord. And that's why it's really an interesting chapter, because at the end of the chapter, you've got the 70 weeks of Daniel, which is one of the most powerful prophetic parts of the Bible. It's like the seals to the Jews. There's the whole plan of redemption. There's the coming of the Messiah. There's the Messiah being cut off. There's now the coming of the other prince, the Roman prince, the Antichrist. Right to the end of the age, we see that it was revealed to Daniel. But the majority of this chapter, the Lord is showing us a man in prayer. That's what he's doing.
Amen.
He takes two-thirds of the chapter to show us how this man prayed.
Amen.
Listen, there's got to be something about that, friends.
Amen.
And I believe that, and I'm sure you have it in your own experience, that the message of the hour should put a burden on people.
That's what
it should. It should burden us unto prayer. And then when we get into prayer, when Daniel was praying, when he went and studied the book of Jeremiah, it opened things up to him. And then the angel came and revealed more. So it's like prayer led him deeper into the spirit of prophecy. Excuse me, the more he got into the spirit of prophecy, the more that he prayed.
Amen.
That's a real, real powerful cycle to keep. And that's what you read about in Thessalonians, where it says, pray without ceasing. You know, that's how you can keep yourself in that cycle. Getting in the word, and then that word pushing you to pray. Praying, and then getting yourself into the spirit of prayer, and then you get yourself in the word when you're in the spirit of prayer. And it opens up even more to you, and then it makes you go back to pray some more. But Paul warns us to say, the devil doesn't want to leave it like that.
Yes, sir.
He says, quench not the spirit.
Yeah.
It's quite an easy thing, friends, for us to quench that spirit.
Amen.
Now, when there's that momentum, when there's that quickening power, you know, when there's something which is starting to influence you and affect you and starting to give you life and something which prevails in prayer. Remember it says about Elijah, he offered the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man.
Amen.
There's an effectual, fervent prayer. It needs a fervency, an earnestness. And friend, it really takes revelation to bring us to that. Like the prophet says, it takes revelation to bring you to a desperation.
Amen.
And Noah heard from God and put him into desperation.
Amen.
And he now prayed and he made intercession. When the Lord came down, when Elohim came down in Genesis 18 and spoke to Abraham, and put him into a desperation.
Amen.
And he started to make an intercession. And then the Lord would reveal even more to him because he was in that spirit and that condition of seeking the Lord in that kind of a way. You know, I think there's nothing more harmful to people then studying prophecy, getting really into the mysteries when you're not in the spirit of prayer.
Amen.
Because it just puffs people up.
Yes.
You know, it just
yes.
makes us all intellectual. It doesn't really do much to us or much to anybody else.
Mm.
But when a person's really in
prayer, Amen.
You know, like Daniel was, he didn't want to know these things just for interest's sake. He was burdened for his people. He was burdened for the holy city, Jerusalem. He wanted to see God move. He wanted to see God restore. He knew the time had come. He would study the word and say, but the time is now. And now is the time that God promised to move. Then he would go to the Lord. And he would speak to the Lord and say, surely, Lord, that your appointed time has come. That your time to heal your people, your time to restore your people, your time to restore your city has come. And then as he gets into the spirit of prayer now, he starts searching to see, is there anything to hinder God from keeping his covenant promises to us.
Mm.
And the first thing that he does when he starts to get in the spirit of prayer, he starts to confess his sins and the sins of his people.
Amen.
Now there was no justification, no trying to find excuses at all. He looked at the condition of things,
Amen.
He looked at where things had got to, and he said, Lord,
Amen.
Amen.
And if you read the scripture, when he starts to confess the sins, look what he says in verse 5.
Amen.
It says, we have sinned. That's the first word he uses. And have committed iniquity. Yeah. Even by departing from thy precepts and thy judgments. Neither have you hearkened unto thy servants the prophets. If you go and have a look in there, he actually says, we've sinned, we've done wickedly, we've committed iniquity,
Amen.
And he says, we've rebelled.
Hallelujah.
Why? That's a man who's getting serious on God. Amen. He's not there just asking the Lord to bless him next week. There's nothing wrong with that. But here's a man that really wants to see God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He really wants to see God keep his covenant promises. And he knows the only one thing that can hold us back is our spiritual condition. It's our attitude towards these promises, as if there's any sin, any iniquity, and so forth. And he starts to confess his sins, and he says, Lord, we have sinned. Then he puts himself in his head, he goes on and says, I and my father's house have sinned. He says, we've sinned against you. We've committed iniquity. He says, we've done wickedly. That's even worse. And then he says, we've rebelled. You sent your word to us. Not only did we just ignore it, but we rebelled against your word. So he starts to confess his sins, and he starts to confess the sins of his people. And as he does that, he really gets himself into the spirit of prayer.
Amen.
Like I say, he's a busy man. There's many things inside of his life that he could get involved in, which could quench the spirit. There's many things when he's getting into this frame of mind, when he's getting now into the spirit like he is, there's many things that have come before him that it's going to be easy for him to put preeminence on that, and he's going to quench this over here. And that's why so many times we start off like that. So you really get yourself in the spirit of prayer, you really get yourself broken before the Lord. Now you really get a spiritual something. There's a sweetness in your soul. There's like a tenderness inside of your heart. You've broken up the fallow ground. You find your heart is now prepared for a fresh visitation of the Lord. And you can really say, "Okay, this is sweet. Things have really changed." And then you go and you quench the spirit. Then you put something else ahead. Now the Bible says that we can grieve the spirit. Yeah? The Bible says we can offend the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And the Bible says we can quench the Holy Ghost.
Yes,
sir. Those are three things that we can grieve him by the things we do. But I'd say this is the one we have to be careful of the most. It's too easy to quench him.
Hallelujah.
You know, and the devil so much wants that. I notice it. Whenever there's something good happening, I'm waiting for the devil to come and quench it inside of me.
Amen.
You know, you find this happens or that happens, something you didn't expect, somebody says something that you didn't expect, there comes some disappointment, there comes some this, that, or the other, whatever it is, the devil knows our circumstances, and what he's trying to do is quench the spirit.
Sure.
That's what he wants to do. When you started to get in the spirit of prayer, he's going to come to quench the spirit if you can.
Sure.
He's going to come to get you involved in something else, putting all your effort in something else. And you lose that something that it's like when you're speaking of quenching the spirit. It's because the Holy Ghost is a fire. Now the Holy Ghost gives warmth, it gives light, it gives power. It's a fire inside. And quenching the spirit is like taking water and putting it on the flame. That's what it is to quench the spirit. They say, I'm back in the ditch once again. I'm back to where I was. I started to get my old vision back again. I started to get my old momentum back again. I started to get my old enthusiasm back again. And something comes in to quench the spirit. And that's why you'll see the first thing that it says about Daniel in his prayer. It says, he determined. He determined to seek the face of God. Be determined. You've got to be determined.
Amen.
Determination leads to perseverance.
Amen.
That always is what you're going to need.
Right.
You're going to need to be determined to stay in that place. And that's why you'll find Daniel's called a man greatly beloved.
Amen.
He was really a man after God's own heart. You find the prayers of Daniel are some of the greatest in the Bible.
Amen.
You'll find that this man was such an example living in the place that he was. Because when he determined to seek the Lord, he really determined to.
Yeah, that's right.
When he was young, he made a determination. I'm not going to defile myself. It doesn't matter what price I'm going to have to pay here. I'm not eating this food that's going to defile me. Now he went about it the right way. He made friends with the eunuch, the steward. explain things nicely, but you can tell Daniel was determined. It doesn't matter, he had been told to do something, it was going to cost him his life, it would have cost him his life.
Amen.
He took that kind of an attitude. Now, then later on you find just after this, when in history, when the proclamation comes, no person's allowed to pray for the next 30 days. He determined in himself.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what they say.
Amen.
And he didn't do it secretly. He opened his windows as the fourth time, and he prayed three times.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
There's something about that that's pleasing to the Lord. That's a determination inside of someone. That's somebody who's counted the cost, yeah? Mm-hmm. They haven't gone into battle and then find that they don't have enough resources, or started to build and find out, I don't really know if it's going to be like this. But it's somebody who looks at it and says, okay, if it's going to cost me, it's going to cost me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm determined. There's a certain result that I'm seeking from this.
Amen.
And I'm not going to be deterred. I'm not. It doesn't matter what comes. It doesn't matter what goes. I'm not going to stop on this course until I reach that distance.
Amen.
And that's what you need, friends.
Amen.
That's the kind of determination that we need in prayer.
Amen.
No, because there's so many things that come against our prayer lives. But there's such a hostile environment. There's so many things that can come and you quench the spirit.
Right.
And you're saying, but I had such a burden in prayer. I had such a travailing power in prayer. But it's gone. No, but there's something came in and you quench the spirit. Yeah. That Syrophoenician woman, she was determined.
Amen.
When she came to the Lord, she wasn't leaving until she got the answer.
Amen. Amen.
And that's why Jesus, he put it in his word. Just say, what an example this woman is. She wasn't even in the covenant.
Mm.
He says, I'm not sent to you. I'm sent to the lost sheep of the house.
Hallelujah.
That's why you find Daniel, when he prays here, there's two things he uses as the basis of his prayer. He uses the covenant. He says, God, you keep your covenant and your mercy.
Amen.
Because friends, we don't just need the covenant, we need mercy as well.
Amen.
The mercy is just God's goodness, even outside of his covenant. The God's goodness overflowed from the covenant and spilled onto the Syrophoenician woman. It wasn't her time. That was mercy that reached out to him. And Daniel, when he makes his prayer now, he says, oh God, you are merciful. We've sinned, we've rebelled, we've committed iniquity, we've done wickedly.
Amen.
I think that's a good thing to do. He never approached the Lord in any way based on his works. There's nothing he says in the whole chapter to say, Lord, we deserve this. No, we deserve your promises. No. Everything he bases on is, Lord, you made a covenant with us. We are your people.
Yes,
this is your city.
Amen.
You called us.
Amen.
You have a purpose for us.
Amen.
We are your daughter. It's not our righteousness. This is not righteousness belongeth unto thee. But unto us, transgression. And sin in all of these kinds of things. And that's why, friend, for God to fulfill his promises, it's never going to be because of your righteousness.
That's right.
No, it's his covenant, his faithfulness.
Amen.
And when he sees us esteeming that covenant, when he sees us approaching him to say, but Lord, we want to see you manifest your covenant. Stretch forth your arm. Show yourself strong on behalf of your people.
Amen.
That's when he starts to remember his covenant as well. That's when he starts now to wake up and say, oh, I've remembered my promise now. Yeah, it really does take a certain kind of an approach.
Hallelujah.
Because there's something that we have to do. You know how many times the prophet says it? He says that when Jesus said to his disciples, pray ye to the Lord of the harvest, that he sends laborers into the field. The prophet says, here was the Lord of the harvest said to them, come and ask me to do the thing that I want to do. But I need you to come and ask me to do it.
Right?
Now, there's that part. You know, there's a certain spiritual condition, a certain earnestness, a certain fervency that he's looking at for us to seek him. And then he says, that's what I was waiting for. Because that creates a certain atmosphere, a certain fertile atmosphere, a certain conducive atmosphere that he can fulfill his word.
Amen.
And then it's going to be for his glory, it's going to be for our good, because we're in the right condition to really receive and appreciate what is done for us.
Amen.
That's how you'll find people like Jacob in the Bible. Many times he prayed. Many times he had some momentum inside of his life. But there were so many things that happened in his life to quench that spirit. Yeah. And he never came to the fullness. He never managed to break through and come to the place that he was supposed to be. Until that day at Peniel. And that's why the prophet uses him in the message, desperation. That was a fervent prayer. That was an earnest prayer. When he got to the stage, Jacob, he says, I'm not going to let you go until you
pray.
It's that kind of thing that then the Lord says, you were taken now in Israel. You had power with God. You prevailed with God in your own time. Now, there's a certain intense desire. You can see that it with Daniel. Other people might have thought, oh, well, it would be nice if God fulfills his word. But Daniel had an intense desire. You know, it's like everything else in his life was so secondary. The only thing he wanted to see was, Lord, I want to see you fulfill your word. I want to see you fulfill your covenant. You know, that's what he was praying. Bring it before the Lord and say, but Lord, you promised us this. This is your word that you gave unto us. But there was a real passion inside of him. And the more he read the message, the more that desire rose up inside of him. The more he saw what God had promised to him.
Amen.
And the more he looked around and said, buddy, but there's so many things that God's promised you, but he's not doing them for us.
Amen.
He didn't blame anybody else. He didn't put the burden on anybody else. He says, okay, if I'm the one that's seeing this, I'm going to take it to the Lord. And he determined and he resolved inside of himself that he was going to set his face to see God. And when somebody sets their face, friends, that's a part of God.
Amen.
The Bible says when Jesus went to Jerusalem to be crucified, he set his face as a fool.
Amen.
And he set himself. There were so many things to distract him, this side and that, but he had set his face. He had set his course. He was going towards a certain goal, and he wasn't going to allow something to come in the way.
Amen.
And friends, that's what we really need to pray.
Amen.
That we really need that. Just to close off the thought, you know, to come to that kind of prayer, like it says in James 5, when it says, James 5 verse 16, confess your faults one to another. You see? And pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Amen.
So Daniel's confessing his sins and the sins of his brethren. Now he's not just like doing this in a theory. He's saying this is very practical. God keeps his word. If God hasn't kept his word, there's a reason he hasn't kept his word. So, let me confess my sins. Let me confess the sins of my people. Let me confess the sins of my father's house. Confess your faults one to another. And pray one for another. Then he starts praying for his people. He starts praying for the holy city. Yeah? The effectual fervent prayer. A prayer that's fervent. Not when your mind is somewhere else. But it's a fervent prayer.
Mm-hmm.
It's a determined prayer. It's a heartfelt prayer.
Amen.
Your heart is in it.
Mm.
Like we said the other day, like Rebecca and those Hebrew mothers, when they said, give me children or I die.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Like, you know, when you get to that kind of, but Lord, please, answer me now, I'll die.
Amen. Like that.
No, that's when God pays attention. He was always going to fulfill his word. But he was just waiting for that kind of an approach to his word. It says the effectual fervent prayer. Then it gives us good advice. It says Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. He also couldn't quench the spirit. Yeah. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed earnestly. Friends, let's never be satisfied with
prayer. Amen.
Right.
Let's wait upon the Lord in prophecy, in the message of the hour.
Amen.
And let him speak to us. And then let's take those things to the Lord and pray and say, Lord, we want to see you fulfill your word.
Amen.
We can't just be satisfied with reading it. Say, Lord, move on behalf of your people.
Amen.
Now, to get to that place is a process. That's what Daniel knew. That. He knew, I'm going to set myself. And you find when you've lost the spirit of prayer, It's a process to get back. You can't just on the very first time that you come to really try to seek the Lord sincerely expect you're going to pray that kind of a prayer.
Mm.
No, because you've been too much influenced by other things already. You know, your mind is already, you know, been full of this, and you've been paying attention to so many other things. So the first time that you come, it's, I really want to seek the Lord here. You'll start with a fervency, and then you'll quench the spirit. Because your mind will think of this, and other things will come and distract you. And sometimes you can't seem to get very far. That's why you need to be determined. And that's why you come back the next time you get an opportunity to pray. You come and you start knocking once again. And you start seeking the Lord earnestly and fervently. Once again, you start confessing your sins and the sins of your people. You start seeking the Lord, and you'll find that you're starting more to get in the spirit of prayer. Then you come back again. No matter how many times it's going to take, no matter how much you've got to pull in, there comes a place where it starts to move into that kind of realm. That now it's the fervent prayer of a righteous man.
Amen.
And that always prevails much.
Amen.
But once you've lost the spirit of prayer, friends, it's an urgent cry.
Amen.
We need to get it back.
Amen.
And we've got to do like Daniel said, we've got to get in the Word. Because the Word is going to quicken us. The Word is going to minister to us.
Amen.
And then we've got to get in prayer. We've got to confess our sins.
Amen.
And the sins of our fathers, the sins of us, the sins of our people. And then start bringing the promises back to God. And then He'll start speaking to us again. And then we go back into His Word and we start seeking like it once again. Friends, there's no shortcuts on that.
Amen.
There's no shortcuts. You know yourself. Like the example is given, you're out of shape physically, yeah? And then you determine to get yourself back in shape. And you say, I'm going to start jogging. You're not going to get very far the first time. You're going to feel the face of it, but you've got to be determined.
Amen.
You've got to be effectual. You've got to be fervent. There's a certain goal you're trying to get to. There's a certain place you're wanting to attain to.
Amen.
My friend Daniel was that kind of a man. When he started to pray, there was a certain goal, there was a certain aim, there was a certain objective before him. He wanted to see God move.
Amen.
On behalf of his people. And he was never going to be satisfied with anything less. No matter how many things came up in the kingdom, which he had to go, okay, I need to do this, I need to do that. But as soon as he had an opportunity once again, he was back in that place. In the next chapter, chapter 10, when he went by the side of the river Hiddekel, how many days was he there? Yeah. The prophet says he was determined. He didn't come with the chariot that day and say, okay, come and pick me up in the evening. He says, I'll call for you. He was going to stay there as long as it took. That's what you need in prayer.
Amen.
That determination, like Daniel, to set your face to seek the Lord. To stay there. Whatever it is that you're seeking of the Lord, that you're going to stay there. You might not be able to pray without ceasing physically. But the burden inside it, you can imagine Daniel when he went back to the affairs of the kingdom, he was doing whatever he had to do, but his heart wasn't in that. His heart was still in prayer. His heart was still burdened to see God come and fulfill the promises that he had made. And friend, that's a great requirement for the
heart.
A great requirement for the heart. And that's how the prophet speaks about it, in that you've got to follow it up. If the Lord starts burdening you, if the Lord starts quickening you in prayer, if the Lord starts quickening you in the Word, and there's something starts speaking to the deep inside of you, follow that thing. Don't quench the Spirit. It's too easy to quench the Spirit. And there was potential was there to break through into something, for God to really do something, but because we quench the Spirit, we find it never really comes to what it's supposed to be. That's okay. Learn the lesson. Learn from the defeats in battle. You're going to be a better soldier next time. But friend, there comes times, I really believe at this time that we need that.
Amen.
That we really need to determine in ourselves as the sons and daughters of God to say, Lord, you know, I want to see you work in my life.
Amen.
I want to see you work in our midst in a deeper way.
Amen.
I want to see more of you. We want to see you come down. We want to see you reveal your glory.
That's right.
We want to see you unveil yourself more to us.
Amen.
And friend, if we will determine inside of ourselves to say, saints, let's not be satisfied with anything less.
Amen.
We thank the Lord for what He's done. We thank Him for His grace. We thank Him for His mercy. But there's still a deep inside of each and one of us. And if you let your soul start to express itself like Daniel in prayer, that's the desire that it has.
Amen.
Like I said, Daniel wasn't praying for a lot of personal things for himself. He was burdened with the church and its condition.
Amen.
And he wanted to pray. He wanted to make sure that all the obstacles, anything which could hinder God from fulfilling his word, was out of the way. And he took it upon himself and said, it's going to have to start with you. I don't see the Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, than other parts of the kingdom. I'm here by myself. So I'm going to set myself to
sleep.
And I will say, saints, as we come to prayer tonight, let it be a starting point.
Amen.
A starting point.
Amen.
Let's determine inside of us. Like I said, determination always leads to perseverance.
Amen.
And how many times did the prophet preach perseverance? 12, 13 times he preaches that message. There's something very important about that principle.
Amen.
So as we come, well, you might go home this evening and say, I've never really prayed to the place that I desired to be. That's okay. It was a starting point.
Amen.
But determine in yourself that you're not going to stop there.
Amen.
When you get home, or tomorrow in the morning, or tomorrow in the day, whenever you get an opportunity, you're going to be there with a fervent desire.
Amen.
You're going to allow something to build inside of you which doesn't take no for an answer. Sure. You're not going to allow yourself to be satisfied until you've got to that place that God is burdening you to get.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because friends, this burden upon Daniel in chapter 9, it came from the Lord. Yeah, when you feel the burden to seek the Lord, that didn't originate from you. When you feel the burden, when you're not satisfied with things like in your own spiritual experience, and you feel the burden to seek the Lord for a higher, for a deeper experience with him, that didn't originate from you. That's a deep, that's a ministry to
him.
And what we've got to do is respond to that. We've got to yield to that. We've got to feed that. We've got to follow that through. Don't quench it. Don't allow too many things to sidetrack you in the process. But keep your eyes on the prize.
Amen.
Keep your focus on the promise.
Hallelujah.
Keep your focus on the covenant. Keep reminding God and keep reminding yourself in the scrolls of Jeremiah of what it is that you're praying for. This is what God has promised to us. So I'd say, since let's really come to a season of prayer.
Amen.
Let's start tonight. Let us pray. And whatever we need to do as the people of God to humble ourselves.
Amen.
Let's humble ourselves at this
time.
Amen.
Let's not get caught up in secondary things. Let's confess our sins, like it says. Let's confess our sins one to another. Let's remove anything which will come in the way. Let's seek the Lord.
Amen.
In this season, because I really do believe his time is there.
Amen.
People to approach him.
Amen.
Let's stand, saints. Let's sing one song to discuss one chorus as we come to pray. Let's remember Sister Julia's daughter Ruth. Let's remember Brother Scott. Whatever the Lord lays upon you as we come to pray. That it's the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that avails me.
Yeah.
Oh. Holy Spirit, baby, me, set my soul on fire.
Before you, Lord, that you are going in front of wherever they are, Father. And I hear the Lord, and grant their needs, Father Lord. Any other prayer, Lord, that has not been said, you know them already, Father.
Amen.
Lord, meet all of them at the point of their needs.
Amen.
We come back here, Father, we shall come in testimony.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Give praise and glory, O God. Thank you for this evening, Lord. For paying us at least one more time and bring us back into remembrance again, Lord. How you love us so much.
Thank you, Lord.
It's so sweet, O God. We enjoy your holy prayers, Father. Thank you, Lord. Bless us all tonight as we depart.
Amen.
Go before us by your mighty arm and strength. Sunday is ours, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Back us again. Oh, with your fire, Lord.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. We pray in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. In a sense, let's just whisper that song.